Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We locked and loaded. 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio. Eco Word. Each and every Friday, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. I'm excited to be back into our show, the second half of our show. This conversation is something I've been wanting to, recap for some time now. We spoke about 6 months ago in June of 2025, and I wanted to make sure starting off in the year, we're doing it the right way by talking about something positive that actually took place in 2025. So I wanted to bring on Eric Marsh Sr., the Director of Operations at Philadelphia Center for Gun Violence and Reporting, to talk a little bit about what took place as far as our homicide numbers and our violence actually going down. Like, solutions actually work, People wasn't just talking, chit-chatting. They was actually putting the money where their mouth is and creating programs and situations that created solutions in the city that it actually was effective. So, Eric, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on WRD. Talk to me. Introduce yourself. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, POC, thank you. I appreciate you having me on again. This is always a good time when we get a chance to converse and bust it up and have really good, deep, meaningful conversation. So I'll just thank you for bringing me on and having me join your listeners in this conversation.
Yeah, well, I ain't gonna tell everybody I had to drag you by your ear. Like, come on, Eric, we gotta have this conversation for sure.
I ain't gonna tell everybody that you was late getting on this call either, so
I appreciate you, though, always, man, for making time and showing love and support to us here at WRD. But I want to jump right into the conversation. We just broke it. We just broke a record, 9-year low in the city of Philadelphia when it comes down to homicide numbers. From your perspective, the work that you do, what's your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts are I'm ecstatic, like anyone in living in this city, and more importantly, anyone who has been directly impacted by gun violence, like we want to see this get back to what quote unquote normal rates, right? Like gun violence is something that is absolutely a preventable issue. And the fact that we have seen historic highs placing Philadelphia at the top of the list in terms of, or near the top of the list in terms of violence, gun violence per capita, is nothing that anybody, any resident wants to be proud of. And so I'm extremely proud of the work that it has taken to get us to these historic lows. And I hope that we can continue this trend on for another decade or so,
I know,
if not more.
and we actually I jumped a little bit ahead because I didn't give you a chance to introduce yourself as far as like what you do as the director of operations. So talk to us a little bit about what you do at the center.
Yeah, so thank you. I'm absolutely privileged to serve as the Director of Operations for the Philadelphia Center for Gun Violence Reporting, or PCGVR for short. In my role, I oversee not only the day-to-day operations of the organization, but are instrumental in the strategic plan, the long-term strategic planning of not only PCGVR, but our sibling programs, AGVR, which is the Association of Gun Violence Prevention Reporters, and Survivor Connection, which is our community-facing survivor-led program that connects people who have been impacted by gun violence with journalists in order for them to be able to tell their own story and change the narrative. So I've been there since the beginning of 2025, but I have been a longtime supporter and advocate and friend of Jen McMillan and the team. So it's a huge honor to be able to get a chance to join them and help to guide this work in retraining and educating journalists on how to do more empathetic, ethical, coverage of gun violence in our city and across the country at this point.
For sure. And last year in 2025, we talked a little bit about the responsibility about reporting homicide and what does that look like as far as telling the stories and then also telling survivor stories too. So this time around, I wanted to have a conversation about the opposite. The coin has flipped finally, thank God. And this is something we've been asking for. So I feel like there's still a responsibility that journalists have to have when it comes down to talking about the numbers being declined. The numbers actually shown that data is proven that whatever these organizations have been doing is actually working to actually help with the decline of these numbers. So I wanted to ask you that, what responsibility or what can we do to hold journalists accountable to make sure we're still having these conversations.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. The work of PCGVR has never ended. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary release a 5-year impact report that shows the trainings, the screenings, the discussions, the certifications that we've held to help change the narrative and change the way journalists conduct their reporting on gun violence. As a matter of fact, for anybody that's interested, you can go to our website, pcgvr.org/toolkit, and there's a free downloadable PDF toolkit that includes even with just one of the dozen or so pages includes a do and don't for journalists in terms of how to cover gun violence and other traumatic events. So when you say keeping journalists accountable, I think part of that is, have a relationship with the journalists in your community and the people whose news you consume, the broadcasters and the outlets and the writers and reporters. Reach out to them. Like you can send a letter to the editor, or you can send a letter in response to a newscast or a news program that you see that you feel like is either inaccurate or is harmful in some kind of way. Over the years, PCGVR, we've done screenings of a documentary called The Second Trauma. That was produced by one of our colleagues, Yvonne Laddie. And in that documentary, survivors of gun violence talk about how news media often got information wrong in the report, or they exposed the family members to harm by reporting what hospital the person was located at, or things as simple as getting a person's name and age and date of birth wrong, right? Those kind of things are harmful in a way that's different than somebody that is directly impacted by gun violence. But think about it. If any of us have been impacted by gun violence, that is oftentimes the worst day of our lives. We do not need additional, or as we like to say, secondary trauma to come from people getting our story or our narrative wrong. So build those relationships. And as a matter of fact, our program Survivor Connection is designed to do that. We actually connect journalists with community members who have been impacted by gun violence or lost a loved one. We take those community members through a half day of training that provides them media literacy training, understanding gun violence as a public health crisis lens, and hearing the stories of other survivors so that they can be better informed and better equipped to talk to journalists. And then we connect them directly with journalists. So the journalists need sources, and this is a way to effort them to be able to do that reporting better.
Do you
So
think that there's a way to still acknowledge progress, right? Because when I mentioned that, the coin is flipped, I'm saying it in a positive way, in which, like, the numbers are down, so it's less reporting on gun violence that journalists has to do. But at the same time, there's so many other positive things that are happening surrounded by the action of gun violence, is what I'm saying. So do you think that there's a way that, we can still report progress and acknowledge progress through the media while still honoring, victims and survivors and co-survivors at the same time?
absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the easiest ways to do that is to do both of those things at one time. You can do follow-up stories on individuals, families, and communities that were impacted by gun violence. If there was a traumatic experience, follow up and see what's happening with those communities. For instance, most recently in the news was the trial of the individual who committed the mass shooting in King Sessing neighborhood in Southwest Philadelphia. PCGVR and our Survivor Connection program recently got a chance to go to King Sessing Hills Resiliency Center, which was set up as a way of supporting the families that were impacted by that mass shooting. How many stories, or how many reporters have gone back to King Sessing Hills Resiliency Center and followed up with those families and talked to them and see the food giveaways and see the community kitchen and see the group therapy that happens and see the activities that aren't related to gun violence, but just shows a healthy, thriving community, right? The way that you show that gun violence is down is by showing what a healthy community looks like.
And that makes me want to go to my next question, specifically talking about community, right? Because when you think about one of the things that has helped the gun violence go down is the presence of PPD, right? But some communities do feel a little over-policed, right? So how do we make sure, as we're telling the narrative, that the violence is down, but people also can talk about feeling over-policed in a way in which they want to have, their stories told? Like, because I recently went to a town, the reason I brought this up is because I recently went to a town hall, and it was about the youth, and it was at a youth organization, and we were talking about how to pretty much how do they confront the youth? Like how are the youth confronting people out on the street? How are they confronting crowds of people? And one of the points in the conversation is that they feel like they're aggressive. Police are approaching them aggressively. Like they're not doing anything, but they feel like the conversation is like when as soon as they get up on them, they're like, yo, what are you doing? Put your hands up, like that kind of situation. Is like, how are we still able to report what's happening on a positive level, but still also tell the stories of people who feel affected by some over-policing?
So, first of all, I have to push back against your initial question, which was stated in a way that, the increased presence of PPD, the Philadelphia Police Department, resulted in less violence. That's not factually true. Matter of fact, it's already been proven
Level
that.
up. I wanted to figure the town hall I was at was actually called Level Up, but I was talking about the presence of PPD.
That's what I just said. So let me
Yeah.
just let's say that the presence of police officers does not reduce the instances of violence. Violence just relocates. Like there's research that actually shows that if you heavily police one neighborhood, that the perpetrators of violence just move over to the next neighborhood, right? And oftentimes, as a matter of fact, police do
But
not.
that was actually somewhat of a strategic plan of what the city wanted to do. They wanted to stop crime in certain areas of the city, and that actually happened.
So,
So
but
that
again,
happened through over-policing. So that's what I was
but
talking about.
let's get it straight. Let's get the facts straight. Like if you
Okay.
say that was an intentional strategy by the city to move violence out of a neighborhood, that does not mean a reduction in overall violence, right? You're just relocating violent perpetrators. And this has been shown in studies around the country in different cities, and that there are individuals that just relocate. It's the same thing as nonviolent crime, like the sales of narcotics and drugs and illicit, crime. They just relocate to a different area. And so the reality is that the reduction in violence is a result of not just one agency or one department, but many agencies and departments, interdepartmental work in the city, nonprofits and grassroots organizations, public health efforts. It's a concerted, collaborative effort that actually needed to be sustained over years. And so one of the things is that we definitely don't want the narrative to get out and to say that police solved this issue, because that's absolutely not the truth.
And I wasn't saying that at all. And I agree with you. And what you just said was an actual fact. But what I was saying was that there's some areas in which a majority of our youth, right, because the last conversation I had, particularly about how to approach the situation with officers directly, was talking in a space with youth, and they were saying that the over aggression from our police officers make them feel uncomfortable, and they feel like their stories are not being told. So that was the reason why I was just asking in a space of journalism, right? How can we make sure that we are telling the positive stories? Like, hey, the homicide rate has gone down, but at the same time, when it comes down to community engagement between PPD and the people who are actually utilizing our public spaces, they still feel like, there's issues that we're not reporting. So that's what the angle I was coming at. And I'm sorry if my question and my long-winded statement prior to my question confused you.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not confused. What it is there's just a lot of layers to your question,
Yes,
right?
it
And
was a long-winded statement. I appreciate. I do agree. I do agree.
let me try to unpack some of what you shared, right? Because this idea that police come off overly aggressive, I mean, first of all, there is historical context to the presence of police in specifically Black communities, but often, under-resourced communities. Impoverished communities, right? So the presence of police is one thing. I mean, the military-like police uniform is psychologically imposing for some people. So for some folks, police officers just stand there
Yeah.
and you can feel a presence. And unfortunately, over the decades and generations, that idea of officer friendly has been eroded because of instances of police brutality and police violence. So I'm not saying that police are any more harmful or hostile than they have been. As a matter of fact, they actually are much less in terms of the trainings and things that have happened inside PPD over the last decade or so. That's great. The sense of feeling of safety, particularly by young people, and whether or not police are aggressive, again, that's oil and water. When you mix police officers and young people, despite what PAL, Police Athletic League, has been successful in doing for generations, there is a narrative that exists that there is always going to be like this tension and hostility between police and young people. And I think that's something that the police have to work on. That's not anybody else's responsibility. At the
That's
same
community
time,
engagement. I feel like that's something that falls on community engagement for sure.
that's the community engagement piece, right?
Yes.
And in that piece, that's where journalism and news reporting come in, because then the reporters have an opportunity to report on what are the police doing differently when it comes to community engagement and a relationship with young people, right? So we don't journalists don't create that environment, and they don't create that narrative. What they do is they have an opportunity, and some would say an obligation, to report on those efforts. But if those efforts aren't being promoted by PPD or police or any sort of law enforcement agency, then that's the failing of that agency.
For
Now,
sure.
going back to like youth piece in terms of the sense of safety, again, I think that also goes back to building relationships. It's a two-way conversation. Because honestly, I mean, I see there's youth, teenagers are going to be teenagers, right? There's teenagers all over the world. They get out there, they're rowdy, they're playing with their friends, they play fighting, they're wrestling. All of that stuff can look triggering or look unsafe for anybody that's watching it.
Yeah.
And
And I don't know
so
if it's
it's
public, I don't know if it's public record or public information, but in 2025, Drexel and the Philadelphia Police Department teamed up and did actual survey, and they gave it out to teenagers around the city of Philadelphia. And that is what we actually had the town hall about, was actually talking about the results and what the youth had to say about the actual survey that they took. But Eric, we got to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, you'll hear more from Eric Marsh Senior, who's the Director of Operations at the Philadelphia Center for Gun Violence Reporting. You already know what time it is. Man, it's your girl, POC. Eco word, eco word, eco word.